Let's pray. Father, we thank you. This place we sing about various ways, often country gospel, Lord, of coming home. And that's the place that Jesus said, for those who believed in him and looked to him and received the gift of eternal life, redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. That's the place that our Lord Jesus said he's going to prepare for us. And we thank you for that hope and that promise. Not just pie in the sky, but reality, substance of faith, the substance of things hoped for, the things believed. We praise you for that, Lord. It keeps us going and honoring you on this earth, keeps us going the opportunity we have. Pray that through this Deuteronomy text, children of Israel now standing across the River Jordan, that you would speak to our hearts, continue to speak to our hearts this morning. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you recognize these names? Do you recognize these names? Shamua, Shaphat, Egal, Palti, Gadiel, Gadi, Amiel, Sether, Nabi, and Geuel. They were very important men, strong leaders, chosen from among the thousands of strong leaders and warriors of the powerful tribes of ancient Israel, the chosen people of the Lord God Almighty. Men of renown, highly esteemed in the eyes of their countrymen. They are 10 of the 12 tribal leaders listed in Numbers 13, chiefs among their people as described in this text. The text reads, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Send men out to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a chief among them.' So Moses sent from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the people of Israel." This was a crucial reconnaissance mission, as they were commissioned by Moses to spy out the promised land and bring back a report. And not just anyone made the list. They were the elite, the vanguard. They were to be the reconnoiters and outriders, leading God's people into the land of their dreams. Men of valor and accomplishment. Men who had over the years earned prestige, honor, and respect among their peers. Strong, bold leaders of men. At least that's how they started. But where did they end? Because how we end is what really matters, isn't it? And doesn't the Bible have a thing or two to say about ending well? So how did they end? Dead in the desert. They were the width of a river from their dreams fulfilled beyond their imagination. Home, we might say, but instead they died in the desert in rebellion and disobedience. Instead of marching in victory into the promises of God, they wandered and died in the wilderness apart from God. If you would turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 1. You were wondering where all this was in Revelation? We're taking just with the service here, we're taking a little Revelation break. We will be back to chapter 12 next week in Revelation. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 1. And you'll see there's 46 verses in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 1. And you'll be very happy to hear that we're not going to preach all 46 of those verses. These are the words that Moses spoke to all Israel. Now, the Hebrew title is, that is exactly what the title is. These are the words. And they are the words of Moses. These are the words that Moses spoke to all Israel beyond the Jordan in the wilderness, in the Arabah, opposite Suf, between Paran and Tophel, Laban, Hazeroth, and Dizahab. And what this is that now we're at the second time the children of Israel, are standing on the other side of the Jordan River. The first group, and Moses is going to see, and that's our text today, we're going to review the first attempt to make it across, the first attempt to believe God and go across the Jordan to the promised land. But Moses is going to review all of these things to them. He wants them to be aware of their history, what happened 40 years ago when not the same people, because everyone 20 years and over died in the wilderness because they couldn't bring themselves to believe God. So these are the words of Moses, just capturing the scene. They're on the other side of the Jordan. Their land of their hope and promises is just across the river. The breadth of a river is all that separates them from everything they've ever thought. They have been slaves for 400 years, oppressed by the Egyptians, brought out of that land by the Lord God Almighty. And here they were, standing on the brink of victory. And part of what we want to look at this morning is, what is that like when we are God's people and we faithfully follow Him? What is it like when we were right on the edge of victory? What does that feel like? What will we encounter? We're going to see the negative example through the children of Israel. They are like a case study for us, as it tells us in 1 Corinthians 10. And it goes through some of the particulars of their journeys. And it says these were written down for us for examples for us. Okay, so if you could go down to verse 9 then. Moses writes, "At that time I said to you." Okay, so see, Moses is drawing them in. He said, we were here 40 years ago. He said, "At that time I said to you." Now that's what we're going to be mostly looking at now this morning. What did Moses tell them at that time? Because he's telling them this so that this group can learn their lesson and that they can go on in victory, that they can go on and embrace the promises of God. The first thing that I want us to see is that the good land was set before them by God Himself. You know, I wish I knew more background, but just what I have looked at, and it would take hours of study to get to even start capturing it. But the phrase "the Lord God Almighty," speaking of God's sovereignty and His promises, His power, but we hear that again and again through the Old Testament. We hear that in Exodus and Deuteronomy. The Lord God Almighty, and that's who gave them, set this land before them. It doesn't tell us in our text this morning, but God had told them at a different time that God went out and He put on His realtor cap, and He said, "Now where's the best land possible for my people? Where's the land flowing with milk and honey and hills and rivers and they're watered?" And He chose this land for them. This is the land. This is their hope that they have. This is what they are just across the river from. The good land was set before them. Verse 19 of chapter 1 of Deuteronomy, "Then we set out from Horeb and went through all that great and terrifying wilderness." Verse 20, "I said to you, you have come to the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us." Verse 21, "See, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up, take possession, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has told you. Do not fear or be dismayed." What does it feel like, at least at times, and much of the time? This is our case study. This is what the first group dealt with. Moses is telling them here, learn from their example. Here is what you're going to fear. What are the two words he uses? Fear and dismay. Fear and dismay. Now let me just fill in the blanks a little bit with fear, because we all know what fear is, but it sure doesn't hurt to refine our definitions. To fear someone is to be afraid of someone or something that is likely to be dangerous, painful, or threatening. An unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. Let's just stop there for a second. I'll leave my finger right here on the page so I won't forget where I am. Anticipation of danger. What should we anticipate on just the other side of the river as God's preparing us? Now we're going to use this figuratively for us, Faith Fellowship Church. We don't have the same promised land, but what might our promised land be? That we would be a strong gospel witness, that we would honor Christ, that we would hold fast to his word, that we would have sound doctrine, that somebody coming through these doors, it doesn't matter when they came, what it was, what program it was, that they're going to hear the word of God in truth, that we would have such a witness. Jesus said the fields were white unto harvest, that we would see many of those come. Our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, relatives, that we would, that would be our promised land. Our promised land would be to fill this church, not because of programs that we design or our contrivances of our mind and our methods and means, but because we're bowed before God, and we would fill this building and we'd have to build something bigger. That might be our promised land. What's it feel like, though, when God's bringing you close to that? See, God's word always surprises, maybe not always surprises us, but it sure does often, because we think sometimes victory, boy, when I'm feeling really, I don't have my headset on, so I got to stay right here. Yeah. We're feeling, oh, we victory, that means you're feeling strong. That means you got things going your way. That means your plan's working out. And man, now you're ready to step into victory. You don't see that picture in Scripture. This is the picture you see in Scripture, and we're going to find out why here in just a minute. But he tells him, he says, because when we see this, we just can't go by. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Let me continue. A feeling of anxiety concerning the outcome of something or safety of something. Dismay, to break down the courage of completely, as by sudden danger or trouble. It comes on you. Peter, 1 Peter 4:12 said, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal which comes upon you. But who else is always surprised when the fiery ordeal comes? Am I the only one in the room? I don't think so. I got to come back and let God, well, Dave, why were you surprised? We're told to not. But that's the way of the enemy's attack. And this suddenness. So it's not just the disconcerting feelings. It can be the suddenness. Oh, no, we're here. Oh, no, we're at this place. Oh, no, we've got a decision to make. We've got to decide. There are giants in the land. These people are bigger and stronger, and there's more of them than there are of us, and they're living in fortified cities. Did God know that or did God not know that? But this is a report that was brought back. It was an accurate report. All those things were true. Dismay. If you here. Some synonyms to it: be alarmed, bewildered, disconcerted, discouraged, disheartened, disillusioned. What does it feel like? Now, we're not just talking about all loosey-goosey and emotions and that and going on our emotions, but we do need to know what it feels like, don't we? We do, because God gives us this information. See, it's really good, folks, when we are doing what God wants us to do. And we are exactly in the place he wants us to be. And then this sense of fear or foreboding or this sense of dismay. And we think, well, wait a minute, what did I do wrong? Well, now you may have done something wrong. If you have, here's the comforting part of that. The Holy Spirit will convict you of sin. If it's other stuff, the devil saber rattling, then it's like, no, we're not afraid of that. So we need to know what this feels like. Let me share something very personal with you, and it'll help you understand me. Some of you, it might help tremendously to understand me. Maybe I shouldn't have this fear. But you know, if I had to name my greatest fear, and I've given this some thought, it would be that I don't end my life well in completely honoring my Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've gone back and forth on whether I should have. It's good to not want to dishonor the Lord, it's good to want to be true to the end. I don't know if I should have that fear, but I do. I don't think I should let that drive me. I think I should probably understand more his mercy and his grace and his plan. But I have an awful fear that I'll let him down. I want to be known with one as undying love and devotion to the very end, whether it's in the next hour or whether it's 15 years from now, whenever that is. And that's not an easy task. Just ask Samua, Shaphat, Egal, Palti, Gadiel, Gadi, Amiel, Sether, Nabi, and Geuel. Ask them if it's easy. See, the reason we started out there, these were strong men. We just sometimes say, oh, the 10 out of the 12. Now, the other two, who can tell me who the other two were? Joshua and Caleb. We know them, don't we? Why do we know them? They continued on into the promised land, didn't they? Those other 10, didn't you might have guessed if I had told you like there were 10 of these, you might, but I couldn't have given you one of the names of those 10. But the reason I went into the background and went back to Numbers and 13, if you want to even do even more, and even more in the chapter, it tells more about that. But they were strong. There were how many million of the Israelites? How many, what was it, like something around 600,000 men when they counted them who could wield a sword or whatever it was? So when you take 12 leaders out of a group like that, and if you remember, that they broke it down, that Moses broke it down. He said, we'll make captains of tens and 100s and 1,000s. Do you remember that? So there were a lot of leaders. These men were the elite. They were the cream of the crop. We have to understand that to understand their failure. We have to understand that to understand the battle that's against us, because it's the same battle. It's different part of the world, it's different time, a different age, but it's the same battle. And the battle comes down to, will we believe God? Because that's exactly what they were told, what Moses told this group now, sitting, I would imagine, pretty attentively, because they grew up in the wilderness, or they were 19 years old and they've been wandering, and they're 59 now because they've been wandering for 40 years. So I imagine they're thinking, we'd like to make it across the river this time. So the battle is real. And the whole thing came down to, would they listen to God? Verse 26 of Deuteronomy, verse 26. Yet you would not, well, let me, into verse 25, said, it is a good land that the Lord our God is giving us. Verse 26, yet you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord. The commander in troops, the Lord himself, commanded them to go. Said, you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God, and you murmured in your tents, and said, because the Lord hated us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to give us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Now here's interesting too, and we won't get into it, but how many references? They said, what did you bring us out of Egypt just to destroy us in the desert? How many times they talked about, Moses, why'd you do this? Just bring us out here to destroy us. They did it again and again, at least 4 times. Well, they got what they asked for, didn't they? They just refused to believe God. They refused to believe God. Things weren't going the way they thought they should be going. They had a plan. If it were up to them, this is how it would have gone, and it didn't go that way. So they murmured and they grumbled and they undermined their own faith. They did it to the extent that they could no longer believe in the God who performed all the plagues, who pushed aside the Red Sea, a cloud by day and a fire by night. They could undermine their faith so much that they could not believe that that God was great enough to give them victory over the giants in the land. And it is a daunting task. It is a daunting task. And when I feel that fear, I feel that dismay, we have to look. Where do we look? Where do we look? We look to these words of Scripture. We say, this is where it is. The clear words, not somebody's silly theory, not somebody's plan, or we come right back to here. It says, they rebelled to destroy us. Where are we going? Our brothers. Now, who are these brothers? Somebody want to hazard a guess? these 10 strong leaders, men of renown. That's renown. These are the brothers that's speaking of here. You got to have all that background. You got to understand. When they say our brothers have made our hearts melt, they're speaking of these 10. They had wisdom. They had strength. They had experience. They were 12 chosen out of hundreds of thousands of men. And they failed the people. The leaders who did not, that God did not have their ear. See, there's two voices speaking at this time. There's the voice of fear, and there's the voice of God. There's listening to ourselves, which is the voice of fear, because we can't see a way out of this mess. Because we can't in our minds, and that's what they, that was the big problem, that the fear came, the dismay came. There's fortified cities. We're not going to read all. They're fortified cities. There's giants. Sure, the land is abundant like God said, but there's all this other stuff too. See, they had the same data that Joshua and Caleb did. They rebelled against the command of the Lord, and then here's the telling blow. They refused to believe. Then I said to you, Moses said to you, do not be in dread. Actually, that other part was there. It says, the people are greater and taller than we, verse 28, dipped on you there to the back. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven, and besides, we have seen the sons of Anakim there. Back to the words. Moses, a spokesperson of God, spokesman of God, communicating God's message to them. He said, then I said to you, again, when is that? 40 years ago. Do not be in dread or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you will himself fight for you. Folks, is this ever a tough lesson? It just breaks me down. I heard something really good about expectations the other day. Said a pastor of 47 years chiding pastors. He said, you guys, you did the burnout thing. He said, your expectations, you know, you got your expectations wrong. We're to be faithful and we're to preach, but we have these expectations. We should see these things happening. We would see all these different things. We have to look. He said, here, the Lord your God, if anything's going to happen with them or with us, told someone the other day, we were sitting there visiting, I said, we've got a God-sized challenge ahead of us. But the only way it is, can be. If you don't have a God-sized challenge ahead of you, whether as an individual or as the church, if you don't have a God-sized challenge ahead of you, then you're on the wrong road. Because you've come up with a plan that you think that you can get, that we think we can accomplish, that we can implement. And the scripture tells us, no, we're right. This is what you feel, right on the edge of victory. And the whole thing is, you may or you may not go across the river in faithfulness to God. You got to believe God. I'll find it. 32, yet in spite of this word, you did not believe the Lord your God. There's so much more in this. He talks about the hymn. Don't you remember when I carried you, when you couldn't walk, all of the provision, all of these things turning bitter water into sweet, all of these different things. But see, folks, they had undermined their faith. The fear voice, the voice of man, the natural man we've spoken of, that the person, I can't see this. Well, I don't understand this. Well, you don't have to see. We don't live by faith. We don't live by sight, rather. Yeah, I'll get this one right. We live by faith, not by sight. And some things God gives, we understand clearly. Other things we don't, but we see it clearly in his word. And that's what this is saying. But they refused to believe God. Almighty God's are getting ready to take them. Okay, so now this group will go. We aren't going to get into that today, but all of us, he said, now you got to learn this lesson. So I want to finish this morning with two questions. Who does go into the promised land? Who does go into the promised land? Well, if you go over to verse 36, it says, except Caleb. It talks about these others fell by the wayside. Except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, He shall see it, and to him and to his children I will give the land on which he has trodden, because he has what? Wholly followed the Lord. Indifference, you die in the desert. Passé, you die in the desert. Half an effort, you die in the desert. There were two who lived, two over the age of 20 who didn't die in the desert, who came, and Joshua became the leader of the community. They wholly followed the Lord. And that's what we need. We need all of that as leaders of the church. That's what we need, to wholly follow the Lord. That old song, I surrender all, not I surrender most, not I surrender part, not I surrender a lot, but that I surrender all. And let me tell you what, it's scary, because that I surrendering all thing can, it can lead you to the dangerous territory. But God is always there. See, this is the thing. We want God to be safe, and we want following him to be safe, but it's not. I say me, I'm preaching to, it's a lesson I continually learn. I continually learn this lesson. God humbles me before the circumstances of pastoring this church. He breaks me down. It's a lesson I continually learn. Two questions. Who goes into the promised land? Well, those who wholly follow the Lord, Joshua and Caleb. Where do you go? Second question, if you don't go to the promised land? Well, you know, the children of Israel, they were good for saying, well, we want to go back to Egypt. Well, we miss our onions and our garlic and our leeks. And I looked up what a leek was one time. I don't think it sounded very good, but they might be really good. And all these things that we had in Egypt. Well, I'm telling you what, Scripture tells us you don't go back to Egypt. Where do you go? You wander in the wilderness and you die in the desert. Oh, this is getting too dangerous. Oh, I'm getting afraid. I'm dismayed. What might happen? Oh, if these things. So we're going to go back. We're going to just dial her back a little bit. Well, just say, you might as well just say, Lord, will you point me to the wilderness? I'm ready to go wander around and die in the desert and not finish well. Now, that's a little scary. It can be. And it can be discouraging. It can. And it would be awful if the other wasn't offered. And what is offered is that we can be faithful to the end. And you don't know the glory until you know you're standing before your Lord one day and you were faithful to the end. You ended well. He captured your whole heart, soul, mind, and body. Father, we thank you. Oh God, how we thank you for your word of truth. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who speaks to us. Thank you, Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're coming again one day for us. How we praise you, Mighty One. We pray that you would speak to each of us here today, humbled before you, living sacrifices, transformed by the renewing of our minds, ready to step into the work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.